Good morning. Good morning. Tim is at Coalpool this morning speaking. So you've got me and they've got Tim. Before we start this morning, I've got a little video, which I think is going to work. I'm really hoping it works. It's a funny little video that my Dan found this week and called me in and said, "Mummy, isn't this what you're speaking on?"
I've already prayed 2 times for Jesus to help me.
To help you with what?
To help me know what clean your room means, because I don't know what it means. To clean your room. You know what I think it means? You know what I think it means? I think it means that you put stuff under your bed, and that's all I think it means.
I just thought that was great. And when your son comes to you and goes, "Isn't that what you're preaching on?" it shows they're listening. Yeah, I think sometimes we're a bit like that with prayer. I don't know about you, but I can be a bit like that. When I'm desperate, I'm there, God. And then sometimes when I'm not, I'm not. But it's a good place to start. It made me smile. Our series is called "I Want to Walk Like Jesus." And so I can't talk about prayer without us looking at Jesus this morning. And I guess there's 2 questions I've got. What can we learn from Jesus about prayer? And how can what I learn from Jesus impact my life and those around me? And if we answer those 2 questions this morning, then that's what it's about. It's always about Jesus and what we can learn from him. So we're going to start with Luke, if you've got your Bibles, chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. We've lost the lectern as well, so if it falls apart, don't worry about it. The lectern will turn up 1 week. I think I've picked the smallest print Bible this morning. Okay, Luke chapter 5, verse 12. In one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. When the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground, begging to be healed. "Lord," he said, "if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said, "be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus instructed him not to tell anyone what had happened. He said, "Go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you've been cleansed." But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster. And vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. I'm going to start there today because actually Jesus had so many people clamoring for his attention. You know that verse there where it says, "Don't tell anyone really," because like, Jesus knew as soon as people knew what was going to happen, wow, he was going to be inundated with people that needed healing. You can't imagine, you know, if suddenly we knew there was a man in Warsaw and healing was touching the lives of people, there would be a vast crowd, wouldn't there? Just like there was for Jesus. And they just kept coming. They would just keep coming, morning, afternoon, evening. People would just keep coming. But what does it say, the end of that bit I read? It said, "but." It's a very small word, "but." But in spite of the need, or actually maybe because of the need, Jesus needed to withdraw to the wilderness to pray. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I think that I'm really busy and I need to do this and I need to do that and I need to do the other. But actually, Jesus knew what it was to withdraw, no matter how big the need was around him. So why the wilderness? Why does it say he went to the wilderness? Well, for him, he didn't have a nice little snug like I've got in my house where I can go in and shut the door and say, kids, don't come in for an hour or half an hour, whatever it is. They still come, but, you know, you can try. He went to the wilderness. He went to that place, solitary place, to be alone. It's that alone place. Now, it could have been a room, but he went out. He went to a place where he met with his Father. Because, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were together at the beginning. And they'll be together at the end. But when Jesus was here, he still needed that communion with his Father. He still needed to be close to his Father. He chose to take time out to be with the Father and to be with the Holy Spirit. And you know, he was strengthened in those moments. I can't imagine. I mean, Helen talked about everyone coming forward for prayer, and it's like that. When we went to India, it was the same. You know, suddenly there's a crowd of people that need prayer. And that was Jesus' life all the time in those 3 years. People needed him. People wanted him. People clamoured for his attention because they wanted what he had and what he had to give. Some of them wanted him. Some of them wanted what he had. But actually, that's a massive need. But Jesus didn't go, oh, well, you know what? I must keep going because, like, there's another 10 still need to be prayed for. I haven't done that yet. No, he took time out, but he withdrew. It's quite a lesson there for me. I don't know if you're anything like me, but I need to learn to withdraw. The other interesting thing is, I don't think that Jesus' prayer was a monologue. I don't think it was just Jesus talking. I think we can think sometimes prayer is this thing where I talk to God, which it is. But I think prayer is much more than that. I think prayer is a place where I talk to him and he talks to me. And together we're with the Holy Spirit. It's quite different. It's quite a different way of thinking. You know, it was a three-way communication of love between God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were always communicating together. So the question is for us, what can we learn from this? Well, like Jesus, maybe not quite the same, but we still have stuff and people that need us. I don't know what your to-do list is like, but mine never seems to end. It just seems to get longer. I don't know if you have a to-do list. They're actually quite scary because if you don't have one, you can just blissfully carry on, not knowing all the things you need to do. When you write a to-do list, I wrote one last Tuesday in the office, not last Tuesday, Tuesday before, and I actually did one thing off it. It happens. And that list is still waiting there. But you know, because I've got a million things to do, and the culture we live in is demanding more and more and more. You know, you only have to talk to people who have very demanding jobs, which is most people now, to realise that the demands on us are great. But that's actually even more reason why we need to spend time with Jesus on our own. I was talking to someone about speaking on prayer, and we were talking about the fact that it actually can be a really dry thing to talk about because people feel like, oh, I'm going to be told off for not praying enough. Oh, I'm going to be told off for not spending enough time with God alone. And it can feel like a really negative thing. But I don't want us to feel that today. I want you to take that off because that's not what I'm talking about. Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness. I'm going to keep saying it. He often withdrew to the wilderness. And we can read that in lots of different places in the gospel. I suppose the question to myself is, do I make time to come aside and be with Jesus? Do I take that time out? Now, you can pray walking. You can pray on the street. You can pray in your car. You can pray when you're traveling. I love praying traveling. I think it's great now because people now think that I'm on my phone when I'm talking in the car, which is great. Years ago, they just used to think I was crazy. But, you know, you can pray anywhere, anytime, at any point. But there's still a place for that quiet time. It doesn't have to be quiet, but that alone place where you can be with Jesus. I think I struggle with doing this sometimes because I'm a bit of a doer. I don't know about you, but I like to do. I don't like to be. If you're not like me, if you're very laid back like Tim, you know, then you're a different personality. But for some of us who are doers, I'm not saying Tim isn't a doer, but he's very laid back. And I'm about as far the other end of the spectrum as I'm running all the time. I don't know whether it's just a girl thing, but I never stop running. Okay? I get up in the morning and I think, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to... You know, that's what my life is like. To school, to back, to this, to that, to the shop, to this. I'm going to see that person, I'll do that person, I'll have this coffee, I'll do... Literally my diary is bum, 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 bum. And then I say, is that right? Because there have to be places in that diary to be alone, to be with Jesus. Otherwise, I've got nothing good to give. I could give of myself, which is okay. But if I give of Jesus, it's so much better. So much better. When I was little growing up, my dad, I have mentioned this before, but we had a big willow tree in our garden, huge. And Dad used to call it his green cathedral. Because when the stresses of being a single parent got too much with three kids, he would go when we were in bed and sit outside under his green cathedral. And he would pray. And he would be alone. And he knew we were safe. We were in the house. We were in bed. And he had his time with Jesus. And I think, for me, that's a demonstration of what I want my kids to see. That I take time to be alone. I recently asked someone what they were doing for their birthday, a person in this church, and they said to me, well, actually, I'm going to my bedroom and I'm shutting the door and I'm having 2 hours with Jesus. That's quite something on your birthday. Because they felt like they wanted to be with Jesus that day. When I was thinking about this, I started thinking about some of the lies that I've believed, and I've alluded to this already. I'm going to read out a little list of things that I think aren't true about prayer. Prayer is boring and dull. Prayer is a chore. My prayers feel like they're hitting the ceiling. I don't think my prayers make any difference. I don't think that God is really listening or he really cares. Prayer is just a one-way monologue. You know, if we've ever thought any of those things, we need to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm sorry I thought that. Because they're not true, actually. They're not true. And the enemy would love you to think they're true. Because if you believe that, then you won't bother praying anyway. But they're not true. They're absolutely, utterly not true. They're lies and they're not of God. You know, if the enemy can stop us praying because we're too busy, well, he's won anyway, hasn't he? If I'm too busy being a Christian, but I never spend time with Jesus by myself, what have I got to give? And what well am I giving from? Is it my well? My ability? Because you know what, guys? I don't want to give from me. I want to give from him because I know his riches and his resources and his love are far greater than anything I've got to give. Far, far greater. And you know, prayer for us is an essential way for us to grow. Prayer is about relationship. You know, when I married Tim, if I said to him, well, I'll give you 10 minutes on Friday night because I can fit you in when we first got to know each other, I don't think we'd be married now because there'd be no relationship because I would never have got to know him. And actually, the only way we get to know people is by spending time together. And it's the same with Jesus, exactly the same. And you know, that alone place is where our hearts can pour out to God. All the stuff that you are carrying. And it's where we can discover the depths of his love for us. And we'll never stop learning that. We will never stop learning the depths of his love. You know, if I think about what did Jesus teach us, he taught us how to pray. If you want to read it later, there's time at home to read it in Luke 11. He taught us the Lord's Prayer, we call it. And his disciples said, teach us how to pray. And what did he do? He focused them on the Father. It talks about need, it talks about forgiveness, it talks about leading us not into temptation, and he refocuses us back on his kingdom. And you know, if we're not careful, we're so focused on life that we lose the focus of his kingdom, even as Christians, even as leaders. It's the same challenge to us all. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert, be persistent, and in your prayers for all believers, be persistent everywhere. Pray for all believers everywhere. Am I rooted, as it says there, in prayer? Am I praying at all times on every occasion? Or do I do it as a last resort when I've spoken to everybody else about whatever it is that's on my mind? I'm going to show you something that I've done. Dave, could you put this on? This one, yeah. I was preparing for this and felt really challenged. It will be up there. To paint, which I don't do very often. I don't get time anymore. Surprise, surprise. But I prayed about this and really felt like it was something God had given me. And I'll just talk it through. It says, too busy to pray. But there are other phrases you could put there. It could say, I don't want to pray. It could also say, I can't be bothered to pray. But the result is exactly the same. Because what happens is, if I don't pray, and then it's just work, 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 I'm rooted in the stuff of life. I'm scrolling through other people's lives. I'm very self-absorbed. I'm confused about my priorities and I keep on running. That's what I'm rooted in. Okay? That's me. And out of that will be what I become. So all my stuff, my worries, my self-focus, my empty thoughts, my hopelessness, my heaviness, my exhaustion, my tiredness, my stress, my barrenness, no vision, all of that stuff becomes evident in my life. And I know that because that's what happens to me when I don't spend time with Jesus. Now, you might have different things that appear on your tree. Those are my leaves. I can carry an awful lot of stuff. But I can't leave you with this picture because it's too depressing. Come on, Dave, let's have the second one. Dave's my helper today because I don't have Tim. So the opposite is, I am rooted in prayer. And there's little bits of writing, you probably can't see them there, but I'll read them out. When I am rooted in prayer, this becomes a place of exchange. A place where all of this stuff, my pain, my heaviness, my hopelessness, my anxieties, my worries, my concerns, are given to Jesus. It becomes a place of prayer, praise, adoration, and worship. I am rooted in Jesus' love. I refocus on Jesus. It's about intimacy. It's about pouring out our hearts. There's a phrase I love, beauty for ashes. It's that place where we give him our brokenness and our pain and all the stuff that we can't deal with, that we're all facing all the time at different points in our life. Sometimes it's worse than others. Sometimes it's easier than others. But actually, that's the place where our stuff is rooted. And if I don't give it to Jesus in that place, I bear it as fruit in my life because I carry the weight of the stuff myself. And I know that because I've lived my whole life battling between these two trees. That's my personal challenge on a daily basis. Am I going to spend time with Jesus and root myself in his love, in intimacy, in knowing who he is, in spending time with Jesus, in becoming absolutely absorbed with who he is? And I will give him all this stuff. I'm not saying this doesn't exist. It's there every day. And I can either carry it myself or I can give it him back and say, Lord, I can't do this. And do you know, you might have to do this 20 times a day. You might have to come back in those moments on the bus or in the car and go, I give you that again. I give you that fear again, Jesus. Because I want to know your joy. I want to know your peace, your wholeness, your perseverance, your rest, your good fruit, your goodness, your wholeness, your endurance, your freedom, your life, your truth, your forgiveness, your healing, your hope, your love, your sacrifice. I want to be alive. I want to be full of peace. Now, I know which tree. I can just see by Pauline's breathing in. She's going, oh, I'd much rather have that tree. I know where I want to be. But I find myself here too many times. And why? Because I am not spending enough time with Jesus saying, Lord, take it. It's yours. I give it you back. I don't want to carry this stuff. I want to be free from this so I can be the child of God that you made me to be. And if you look, as we draw up from Jesus, he's at the very center of our hearts, the very center of our lives. Jesus becomes central. He is our source. He is the very essence of who we were created to be. He's meant to be within us. We're never meant to be separated from him. We were meant to be together. We were created in his image. In his image to be like him. You know, it's a real challenge this is. And although it is a challenging thing, I actually feel like Jesus is saying, it is a challenge to make time for him. But it's a challenge we need to rise to, guys. And if it means me turning something off the telly or not picking up my phone, do you know that message could wait half an hour? We had a fun thing happen. We went to London the last 3 days. We've had a crazy 3 days in London with our friends from Spain who came to join us. And on the way down, Tim realised he'd forgotten his phone. Oh. So we called it Tim's phone fast. And it nearly killed him the first few hours. It's a bit like, oh, you know, you don't realise how much you love your phone until you don't have it with you. Ben's laughing, Ben Hunt, because it's true, isn't it? You know, and Tim's the older generation, you know, and he still needs his phone, you know, and he came back to 99 emails and however many messages. But you know what? He survived without his phone for 3 full days. Praise God. You know, there are things that we think we can't do without, but actually, it's about him. It's about our priorities. It's about choosing Jesus. I've actually copied, Oliver has photographed and copied these paintings, and I'll leave them at the front if you want to take them. If they all go, then let me know. I can do some more. I've only done a few. But, you know, to remind us this week, hey, put it somewhere and think, I'm going to remind myself to spend some time with Jesus. And do you know what? It's not actually hard work. Because it's the most beautiful place to be when we get it in our heads and we stop believing the lies that this is hard work. Could I have the band back? The band disappeared? They're still here? Yeah, Ben's here. I guess as I've been reflecting on this week, I felt obviously really personally challenged. For a couple of weeks I've been prepping this. And I felt really challenged because it's all about him, isn't it? You know, we heard Vic a few weeks ago talk about the cost that some of our brothers and sisters are facing, and this has been a bad week in different places around the world this week, particularly, people have been watching it on the internet and all this stuff that's been going on with Aisha Bibi being released and the trouble it's causing. You know, there is a cost to following Jesus that other people face that we don't face in the same way yet. Maybe we will. But there's a cost to us that's different. And it's the cost to say, you know, I choose to give you my time, my focus, my love, my adoration. I choose to sow the pain. You know, this is not absent of pain or loss. But there is a place of exchange where his beauty can come into the deepest and darkest of places. You know, this isn't a happy, yay, everything is perfect. It's not about that. This is about real walking with Jesus, where I sow the depths of my pain. That's the place of intercessory prayer, rooted in his love. That's the place where I pour out for my friend that's really poorly. That's the place where people can bring their debt worries and their anxieties and the bereavement. And that's the place in Jesus. I don't want to be there because I've got nothing there. That's where most people are. But we want to take people to this place. I want to be hope to others, but I haven't got anything to give to my friends if I'm not there myself. And you know, I believe, you know, we this church was rooted in two love laws. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love people. And I want to love people out of my love for him. It says, love the Lord your God. That's the first one. Love God first, so I can love people better. Let's stand together. I'm going to read something to you. I want you to just take a moment now, and I'm going to read you something that I wrote a couple of weeks ago when I was trying to pray one day and finding it hard. And I want you to open your hands to God and open your hearts and say, Jesus, this is about you. This is all about you. Lord Jesus, sometimes I feel like I don't know how to pray. Should I rest and be quiet, or should I talk? Should I be still, or should I dance? Should I pour out my sorrows or be silent before you? Should I share the griefs and burdens of others, or should I wait for you to act? Should I talk incessantly, or should I listen for your voice? Should I praise you and pour out my soul? Or should I kneel in silence in awe of you? Should I shout my thankfulness from the tops of my lungs? Should I write of my heart's desires? Or paint my gratitude in pictures? Should I sing of the depths of my soul through melody and words? Or should I whisper in the unknown tongues you've given me? Should I cry and let my tears fall as unspoken prayers, or burst with laughter at your wonder? Should I remind myself of your faithfulness over time, or should I reread the truths of your word? Shall I remember your promises, or tell my soul once again that it is well? Shall I lie alone quietly before your throne, or lift my arms high in praise and adoration? Shall I bow my knee or dance before you? Shall I soak in the melody of worship or be silent and meditate on your love? There are so many ways to pray to you, to be with you, to hear from you, to intercede with you. Forgive me for when I find it hard to be still, for when I feel like my prayers are hitting the ceiling. Forgive me for when I'm too busy to pray or I can't be bothered. Forgive me for when I don't make time to be alone with you. Please teach me, nurture me, show me in prayer, in relationship with you, where I can rest and be at peace. And know your love in new ways, where I can be still and know that you are God, where I can pray in line with you and your heart, where I don't pray out of fear or striving, where I am found in your love as your child, where striving cease and joy abounds, unhindered by circumstance or difficulty. Where my heart is fully open to you and I'm not afraid of intimacy with you. Where I am abandoned to you, Jesus. Where rivers of living water fill my soul and I am found in you. Where my prayers for others rise like incense before your throne. Where I see spiritually through your eyes. Where I realize the battle belongs to you. Where I am no longer focused on the onslaught of the enemy's attacks, but I am at peace knowing, Jesus, you have already won the battle. Where your blood covers me, your life redeems me. Where fear cannot hold me, where chains cannot bind me, where shame has no place, where anxiety melts away, where darkness has to flee, where unforgiveness has to be laid down, where disappointment can be met with fresh hope, where my dull, tired mind is renewed and refreshed, where deep sadness can feel the balm of healing, where sorrow and mourning can be poured out, and where the cold, hard places in my heart can be made soft and pliable again. Where barrenness of soul can be exchanged for meadows of joy in my spirit. Where the impossible becomes possible. Where I see Jesus. Where I see Jesus, hands open, arms open, reaching towards me with love in his eyes. Where I hear the words, come to me, come to me, come to me. Let's come to Jesus now.